Today is Sunday, July 25th, 2021, and this...
He goes, go to the Bellagio, it's all hookers. I go, who's a hooker? He goes, you can tell. I go, I can't. They need to help me out with, like, a name tag or a scrunchie to the side, you know, anything. Are you a hooker? No, I'm your waitress. Shit.
Is 5 Hundy by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 794.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 5 Hundy by Midnight. What's up?
Ugh. I'm just exhausted.
Me too. And I just took a nap. But anyway, you can take a nap during what would be our normal podcast recording time, because this is going to be very short. Well, not for the listeners, but for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we already recorded most of this show last week.
Yes, we did.
So coming up in a moment, you're going to hear part two of the Resorts World Mega Report. Bars and other stuff we will be covering. But before that, I want to mention that this podcast is listener supported. We've got a bunch of new patrons this week. Dan Gleason, Topwater Texas, Jess Gross, Travis Atherton, Jeremy Koo, Cheryl
Kuyenga.
Kuyenga. Thank you for saving me there. And Derek, thank you to all of these patrons as well as our previously joined patrons. We appreciate all of you. We've got a lot of stuff. We've got some pins and poker chips going in the mail to a bunch of people at the end of this week. We are going to do one of our live stream chats next weekend. We'll get that scheduled in the next few days, so keep an eye on your Patreon alerts for that, and I hope you can join us. If you are a new patron, try to join us for that if you can, because you'll find that it's an amusing, entertaining time.
It's fun.
What else? There's other stuff too. I've been putting up some videos from the most recent trip. Folks got to see what I do in my hotel room when I'm drunk and alone. There's a teaser if ever there was one. We've got some other stuff from that coming as well. So anyway, if you want to support the podcast, visit patreon.com/5hundy for all the details. Okay, so here we go. We're going to jump into part two of the Resorts World Mega Report. This was recorded last week, and then we'll jump in at the end with one additional note and some wrap-up stuff. So here you go. So we are continuing our discussion of my Resorts World trip. This week we are going to lead off with my bar and lounge visits, and there were a bunch. As I mentioned last
you
week.
You went to a bar?
Yes, I did. Between bars and restaurants, it was 18 venues, and I don't know how many restaurants we covered last week, but I think there are probably a couple more bars than restaurants. So there are, and I didn't even hit all of them. There are a couple that I missed. So let's jump right in. One of the bars that I visited, the first one, in fact, was the Crystal Bar, which is the main casino center bar, and it truly is a center bar. Round bar, mm-hmm. Middle of the casino, dead center, easy to find. It has
nice meeting place.
It's decent. They have some lounge seating mm-hmm. around the edge of the bar. Video poker at the bar. It's a rectangle. Well, was it a rectangle or a circle? I think it was a circle. Anyway, it's in the middle of the bar. Circle shape when you factor in the lounge seating, regardless of the mm-hmm. The shape of the bar. You'll see the crystal-like ceiling, which is obviously why they named it that or why they used those, depending on what they did first, name it or design it. I was there for two visits, and I will say both times the service was pretty shaky.
Hmm.
The first time I sat down there and played some video poker, and there were a few bartenders, but one of them almost right away, he was helping somebody else, and he gave me the, be with you in just a second, gave me mm-hmm. that kind of thing as he walked past quickly. He walked past multiple times. I think he had some sort of an issue he was dealing with. I suspect it might have been some sort of a tech issue. They're doing some ordering. Some of the bars and casino ordering and stuff is happening on tablets. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been some issues with that, as there have with other tech parts of the casino.
Yep.
But he was clearly trying to deal with something. And but anyway, it was a while. It was probably 8 to 10 minutes before he finally came and made me a drink.
Mm-hmm.
In the meanwhile, I had hit a jackpot of $1,000 with four deuces and an ace. You know, so I was okay. He probably lost out more than anything, because normally when I'd hit a decent jackpot like that, the bartender who's been helping me is getting a nicer tip.
Yep.
He just got, you know, typical $5 tip for a drink. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, it was fine. So I ended up getting a cocktail. And then the second time, it was not quite to that level, but it took a while before I got service.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it didn't seem like they're understaffed. There were a lot of bartenders around. And there were waitresses around for the lounge seating as well, but there weren't really many people using the lounge part. But it's your basic casino bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they do. I think all the bars have a specialty menu. Some of them had them out and on display. Some of them didn't. And some of the reasons that they didn't were the supply issues that we've been discussing. Some of the things they can't make. The specialty menus are interesting in that some of them have items exclusive to their bars, and then they all have... or most of them have a handful of drinks that are available at property-wide at the majority of bars. And then there's a little crossover where some of them have identical specialty menus. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're going to see eight specialty drinks that are completely exclusive to one bar. There might be a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's a lot of crossover.
The property-wide, yeah, the specialty drinks I tried were really good. Like there's a Genting Old Fashioned. Mm-hmm. That was really good. I had a lemon drop somewhere that was really good. And so I tried a bunch. Berry Tales was one that was pretty good. But anyway, so as far as the bars that I visited, Crystal Bars was one of the less enjoyable of the experiences. So another one that I had kind of a meh. I can't see any reason I'd go back to this one. And this was one of the lobby bars, the Conrad Lobby Bar, where I was staying. Very generic lobby bar. They weren't busy. There was one bartender, and he was helping some people as I pulled up a seat. They were just grabbing a couple beers to go. But he really wasn't very attentive at all. Like he, as he was helping them, he kind of started, like, he wanted to know if I knew what I wanted. And anyway, I said, "Oh, can I look at your menu?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I'll get that going for you." Which is a weird thing to say about a menu. Like, are you printing it off? What are you doing? And then he continued to help them, and it was taking, and they were just paying. It was weird how long it was taking. So in the meantime, I pulled up the menu online, and then when he got done with him, I said, "Oh, I just pulled it up online." He goes, "Oh yeah. So actually I was kind of trying to steer you away from the specialty menu because we don't have a lot of those ingredients."
Why didn't you just say that?
I know. So, that's exactly what I was thinking. So, I said, "Well, I was going to order the Ming Mule," which is, you know, a slight variation on the Moscow Mule.
Right.
And like the only out of the ordinary ingredient, like it was pretty much, you know, ginger beer, and it was typical stuff. I think there was like a hibiscus thing in it. I don't know.
Okay.
But there was like one thing that wasn't your standard item. I'm like, "Well, maybe that's what they don't have. And then I'll just order a Moscow Mule. It's fine."
Yeah.
He goes, "Well, let me just see if we have that stuff today." And he said, "Oh yeah, we do." So it's like, well, okay. So we just had this whole interaction for nothing. It was either know what you have at your bar, or I don't know. It just seemed weird that. So he made it. That was a one drink and gone situation. He wasn't very personable. It left me with like.
I mean, you're not expecting the bartender to be your best friend immediately, but like.
No, but there was like at least the interaction wasn't even like.
Wasn't even warm.
No, and for a lobby bar, you know. It's an early interaction, especially if somebody's waiting for their room or something. They kind of want, you know, a nice place and
to just relax.
And it's kind of stuck in the corner, and it's not.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a typical hotel lobby bar, but like I said, it wasn't a good experience. On the other hand, the Crockford's lobby bar was wonderful. I went there a couple times. Really nice experience there. You know, similar type of bar, but not a similar experience at all. equally quiet. And according to the bartender, it always is. Both the lobbies, they have like very, they're large, spacious, mm-hmm. high ceiling, very nice rooms. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing going on there. There's like, they're just, it's, it's weird that you have these really nice spaces, no activity at all. Hmm. So as far as a place where you can go and have a conversation,
that's a great place.
The Crockford's Lobby Bar, and it's a little hidden. You know, if you're not coming in to Crockford's to stay there, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to find it easily without looking for it. You don't just stumble upon this place. So I went there once, and I ended up chatting with some people at the bar and the bartender, who was just lovely. I don't remember her name, but really good service, very friendly. Offered bar snacks, which is always a nice plus.
Oh, yes.
They had veggie chips. Mm-hmm. And then I went back with Hunter later on. I had the hibiscus Paloma and one of the old fashions. Now, on the Genting old fashioned, they didn't have the whatever the liquor they're supposed mm-hmm. to use for that. They didn't have, again, supply issues. And she says there's something else. I ended up having one with Bullet. Because that's always kind of my go-to bourbon. Mm-hmm. But then the gentleman at the end of the bar and his wife, they're from Washington, D.C., super nice people, mm-hmm. Regular Vegas visitors. He knew his alcohol,
uh-huh.
like really knew his alcohol. Because he's pointing out, like, he and the bartender were having a discussion about some of the different things. And he's mm-hmm. like, I'll have that at home. And she's like, wow, do you work in the industry? He's like, no, I'm just a fanatic drinker. And she's like, yeah, he's got to have a hobby, it's fine. So anyway, when I was ready to order another old fashioned, he said if you're looking for something that works really well in the old fashioned, try mm-hmm. the Angel's Envy, I think was what it was called.
Okay.
Anyway, he said try that one, and she made it, and it was delicious. So but again, really good waitress. And then she was there when I went back with Hunter later on, and we had a nice conversation. And her bar back had been working in another bar the night before, and we had gotten to know him when mm-hmm. we were hanging out. So just like, oh, this is one of those things where you get to know some of the people who work there, mm-hmm. and that's what keeps you coming back, because they're really friendly and mm-hmm. you remember them. And great experience. So again, a lobby bar doesn't have to be forgettable.
Yeah.
And in this case, knowing that there's usually not that many people there, it might be a nice escape if you do get overwhelmed with mm-hmm. the casino environment. Head to this place, and it's worth seeking out. I'll tell you how to get there in a little while when I discuss casino space, because you have to kind of sneak through. It's mm-hmm. you have to meander through some spaces to get to that one. Another casino bar that Hunter and John and I went to is called Gatsby's Casino Lounge. Mm-hmm. It's very much like a center casino bar, but it's a more upbeat, lively, energetic space, and it's not in the center, obviously. It's on one end, the opposite end mm-hmm. of the casino from where Doghouse is. This is very much a lounge setting. It's run by the Click Group.
Okay.
So picture that place at Cosmo, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a similar energy. They had a solo guitar player with the volume cranked up way too loud, so we only stayed for one cocktail because, again, it was hard to have a conversation mm-hmm. there. It just wasn't suitable. And that's what we hadn't seen each other in 2 years or whatever,
yeah.
And wanted to have a good chat. So I think that was one of the places I had the old fashioned, which was delicious. But if you're looking for a high energy like place with some loud music, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking to have a conversation, not a great spot. And they were doing a good business, so probably won't return there. Mm-hmm. Much like Click, it's just not my scene. Yeah. I suppose maybe I'd play video poker at the bar if mm-hmm. in there if I wanted to, or during the day, or yeah. during the evening before it gets too loud. Maybe yeah. They're not open during the day. I think they open at 4 or 5. Okay, and then after that, we ended up at Here Kitty Kitty Vice Den. Now, this is in the food court. This is in the famous food hall, but it's not a restaurant. Mm-hmm. From the outside, it appears to be a quirky little shop called Ms. Meow's Mammoth Stall.
Okay.
Yeah, and they've just got like little snacks and mm-hmm. stuff there. So, but right behind there's a counter, and there's a couple people working in there. It's a speakeasy, and mm-hmm. it's hidden behind one of the shelves in this establishment. First of all, you need to have a speakeasy in a new resort casino to get licensed by Gaming Control now. Mm-hmm. That's that everybody
that
has
and
them.
The steakhouse. Yeah,
exactly. And the steakhouse is not open yet, but it's coming this fall. Mm-hmm. Yes, the speakeasy is practically mandatory now, so much so that Cosmopolitan has like 4 of them. Mm-hmm. So behind one of the shelves, you can't just wander in on your own. like unlike Ghost Donkey at Cosmo, mm-hmm. which I'll kind of compare this to a bit, where you just open a door and you're mm-hmm. in there. This one of the people working there has to admit you. Mm-hmm. So we walked in and said, hey, is there seating available? And they said, oh, right now we're all full. If you want to stand out in the food court and wait until some people leave, it's first come, first served, and we don't do reservations. Hmm. Although I have seen elsewhere that they've been known to have a list where you can get your name on a list. So anyway, at that point, they said no. But we came, we left, and then we went to Gatsby's, and then we came back and thought, well, we'll just check it again.
Yeah.
And some people ahead of us just went up, and they were let in right away. And she said, you guys want to go in? So in we went, and it is a similar to Ghost Donkey in size, maybe a little bit larger. I'd say the bar holds, let's see, the bar is 8 seats, and then there's lounge seating for probably 25 to 30 more.
Oh, okay.
The room, not the music necessarily, there wasn't live music, but the recorded music, but the din in the room of like people talking. There was one group that was very excited to be there and having a wonderful time, but in that small of a room without any sound absorption.
Yeah.
It was a little bit loud.
Overtook the space a little bit.
A little bit. And if you're here, like my hearing's not great. And even with hearing aids, when I get in that, that's the type of environment where everything kind of blends.
Yeah.
So, again, we had one, I had a specialty drink called Berry Tales, which was good. And that's on a few of the menus.
What did it have in it?
You know, I don't remember. It was a fruity drink that was refreshing.
Okay.
I don't remember the specifics. You can probably find it online if you look at the specialty menus. It reminds me of Ghost Donkey a little bit, just because of the way that it is. But
yeah.
It's fun. It's fun to go in there once. I probably wouldn't be inclined to go
again.
Go back unless I was with if I was with somebody who hadn't been there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Something that is not okay. Something that far exceeds okay. And my favorite, one of my two favorite bars at the property.
Yes.
Was another one that, in fact, this is where John and Hunter and I first met before dinner. It is called Starlight Lounge on 66. 66th floor of the hotel. You take the Conrad elevator up. You can probably take one of the other elevators up anyway, but that's the closest one to the entrance to the bar. It opens at 5 p.m. It is an indoor space. There is one small booth area that has like open... There's no wind, like there's a plexiglass or glass in front of you, but then up higher it's open air.
Oh, okay.
But again, it's really small. Like I don't think you could have more than half a dozen people out there or something. And I don't know if it's like VIP space or how you even get that. Maybe you just ask. But
did you need reservations for this?
We had reservations. For the most part, no. I went back the next night right when it opened at 5 p.m. Because they have three video poker machines at the bar. And I'm like, I want to play up here. This would be kind of cool. And so I'm like, I'm going to get here right at 5 and I'm going to play at the bar. And I did. And did not need reservations. There were other people coming up that did not have reservations. I think they technically have a dress code. They're not, they don't enforce anything. I had the night that we went up, I was dressed well. This second night, shorts, t-shirt,
New Balance,
sneakers.
Yeah.
And nobody looked at me or gave me any attitude like it was wrong. And other people were dressed casually as well.
Okay.
So, and maybe in the summer they're looser about it or maybe they'll tighten it up. But for now, or maybe it's while people are discovering it. Nope. And everyone was super friendly. The bartenders were great. Even, they had bar snacks. They had truffle potato chips and some sort of flavored almond. Both were really good. So when we were seated, the three of us were seated, we were on one side where there weren't a lot of people. And the view that we were on, I referred to as the Blight view. We were facing Circa Circus and Fontainebleau. The other side of the bar, again, floor-to-ceiling windows, gorgeous view. That's going to be your Wynn Palazzo Encore, South Strip. Yeah. Yes. It's a beautiful space. Not just the views, but the room itself. It's like dark, rich woods, feels classy, but again, not
stuffy.
No attitude, not stuffy. Square bar in the middle, inexplicable design choices like a big portrait of separate portraits of Prince Charles and Lady Di. Don't know why they're there, but it's one of those quirky things like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Right.
It felt really good up there. It just... I enjoyed it. And my second time when I went up and was just playing video poker at the bar, my bartender, her name was Apple. And she was wonderful. And there were some people who came in at one point, two guys who were locals.
Oh, yeah.
Who were sitting next to me who were very loud and blowhardy and had something to say about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender, you could tell, she was
tolerating
them.
She
was courteous. Well, then the manager of the place came over and she struck up she got in on their conversation. And she stood there and listened to their nonsense. One of them said he was a car dealer, which I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, that works out. Or car salesman. And anyway, just they were a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a little while, they left after spouting off all their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And
for everyone to hear.
Yeah, they left. And the bartender kind of walked back to the bar right then. And she looked at me and I looked at her, didn't exchange a word, and had a full conversation just in that one glance. And we were best friends the rest of the night. And then after a minute, I just said, wow, they were a lot. And she said, I don't know how my manager has conversations like that. And she said, they had a lot to say. But anyway, mm-hmm. and then the manager came back and she's like, hey, he was impressed with your discussion with those two. And so we laughed about it. It was just one of those, again,
yeah,
like good people. And she was taking good care of me. The mm-hmm. the booze was comped while I was drinking, just like at any other video poker bar.
While you were drinking or while you were gambling?
I was doing both. The comp occurred because I was gambling, not because I was drinking. I feel like I'm drinking now. So yes, just really good.
Did you have any specialties up there? Did you stick to basic?
So I had the lemon drop up there, which was good. I think I had another old fashioned up there. I hit four deuces for $1,000 on a dollar machine, so that was a nice bonus. What else? Yeah, like everybody, even like the busser who brought the snacks and it was clearing out empty glasses and mm-hmm. stuff, like was really friendly. At one point he stopped and he saw that I hit a jackpot and he's like, oh man. And then he just goes, man, I fucking love to gamble. Because I want to be playing right next to you so bad right now. I'm like, oh, you're my kind of people. I hope that you don't have a problem. But I'm it was just that he's like, oh, man, I really want to be gambling right now. So I love Starlight on 66. I was there twice in, 2 days. And,
mm-hmm.
That is a destination. Definitely worth a visit.
Okay.
Highly recommended. I'll get to another one that I really liked in a minute. But in between, a bar that I hit probably 3 or 4 times because of its proximity to where I was hanging out a lot was the High Limit Bar
mm-hmm.
in the Crockford's Casino. So this is not to be confused with the Crockford's
Lobby Bar.
This is in the High Limit Room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk about the High Limit Room quite a bit in a minute. But the bar in there, I guess, sometimes High Limit Rooms and High Limit Bars, again, they make you feel uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. you don't feel like you belong. And that's probably more on me than on the actual room. But for whatever reason, this one felt inviting and warm. Mm-hmm. And I never had, it's well lit and it's just like nobody, I never felt like anybody was like, oh, that guy doesn't belong here. Even mm-hmm. though I was dressed like I probably didn't belong there. But there were other people who, I don't know. It didn't feel pretentious or anything mm-hmm. like that. And that's how the bar was. The bartenders were nice and friendly and chatty and
mm-hmm.
And let's see what else.
Were you playing at a machine standalone or were you playing video poker at the bar or a little bit of both?
So I did both, but most of the time I was playing in the High Limit Room itself, which I'll talk mm-hmm. about during the casino portion in a minute. But when I played at the bar,
mm-hmm.
I decided to take a break from the machine I'd been playing and I went over to the bar and decided, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to just for a little bit of a change of scenery, mm-hmm. and because it was one of the bars I wanted to review, I went over there and I promptly, on a $2 machine, mm-hmm. hit four aces for $1,600.
Nice.
So again, I know that was my hand pay where I had mm-hmm. to do the tax thing, but or get a tax form, but I was hitting some nice jackpots. I had one day where I felt like I could do no wrong. I hit mm-hmm. a royal flush in the High Limit Room too on a quarter machine. So,
nice.
Quarter multi-line, which is why it was in the High Limit Room, but. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the High Limit Bar, it just decent,
mm-hmm.
Nice space. I would go back there as I did multiple times. The one that was the true winner, and this is a hidden gem, and this one is a little intimidating,
mm-hmm.
The Baccarat Bar.
Okay.
Not listed on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It is listed on the app, but it's kind of unclear where it is. It refers to like the Crockford Club, which I don't even know what that is. Mm. Apparently that's the Crockford Casino, as it's more commonly known, that I was in. But anyway, the High Limit Room, You walk through that, mm-hmm. and there's a hallway. Mm-hmm. I know, it's a bit of a journey. The High Limit Room is a pretty good size, and they have table games. There's a player. There's a piano, although I don't think there's a player the whole time I was there. Mm-hmm. There's some slots and video poker, and I was playing video poker there. You go through that, and there's a hallway. And in the hallway, there's a casino cage, mm-hmm. which most High Limit Rooms have a casino cage, and it's actually, there's usually nobody there. So if you need quick service for mm-hmm. at a casino cage, that's a good one to go to. But you go in there, and then there's like a host office, and then you go into what is the Baccarat Casino. Mm-hmm. And it's a fairly large room with probably, I would say maybe 20 Baccarat tables. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like its own casino. But again, it's an Asian-influenced resort and casino, mm-hmm. and Baccarat is a big game with Asian gamblers. So it makes sense they would have this. And then there's even a couple like private Baccarat rooms mm-hmm. off to the side. And between those private rooms, there is a small bar space, thus the Baccarat bar. It's, most people will never see this place. Mm-hmm. It is six seats at the bar, mm-hmm. and a couple tables, so probably another 10 to 12 seats, like lounge and table seating. They specialize in high-end whiskeys. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have some, you know, if you're a whiskey drinker, you probably want to seek this place out. One of the little quirks of this room is if you get a specialty drink like a Manhattan or something like that, or an mm-hmm. old fashioned, and you're going to get like the big cube, the square ice cube.
Yes.
You have your choice of one with the Resorts World logo on it mm-hmm. or gold flakes.
Wow.
Yes. Very fancy. The thing is though, I think the specialty drinks, I don't know that I paid for them. I think Hunter was, oh no, I did. I did one when I went back alone. I did obviously. I think the specialty drinks are pretty much the same throughout the property, like mm-hmm. roughly $18 to $20. So a lot of times a High Limit Room like this, you're going to be paying like a premium. Mm-hmm. Like with the time we went to Talon Club, weren't they like $30 a pop or something? It wasn't like that. It was pretty consistent. And again, great service, really nice people. One of the bartenders there who was acting the next night as the bar back in mm-hmm. the lobby bar at Crockford's, his name was Danny mm-hmm. and he had been mentioned in a text chain I had been on. Mike E was in town the previous week mm-hmm. and had mentioned having a good time with Danny, and we mentioned Mike, and his face lit up. And we said Mike, he's like, "Oh, Mike, you got to tell me some stories about Mike." And we were going to go back the next night we didn't get into a conversation about that. He was working in the other bar and mm-hmm. it didn't happen. But anyway, so
We have stories about Mike.
Kind of fun that he remembered him. And we hung out there. John and Hunter and I hung out there and had a great time. And then I went back alone. I had a mm-hmm. different bartender named Sheena the next night. She was like the fill-in, like the break bartender. Oh, uh-huh. She was awesome, too. Just really good people working there. And it's that thing, too. And to some extent, you see this when a new property opens. Like, people are really excited. Yeah. Even though they've been going through problems, mm-hmm. They seem really excited about it. And, like,
it's something new and fresh.
Yeah. And it's a new experience for them. Yeah. And even though I think they also want to make a good impression on mm-hmm. people knowing it's their first visit.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they are especially attentive. And mm-hmm. one of the things that was highly amusing and entertaining to me when I was back there alone, the people who are the servers in the Baccarat mm-hmm. casino would come in there to get their drinks for the players. And there was one dude who was one of the servers that was so uptight and stressed out, and I don't know if he had a high buck customer who was super demanding or uh-huh. something. This dude just seemed like he was gonna burst. He was so just you could tell he was really stressed.
He was gonna shit out a diamond at the end of the night. Yeah,
exactly. It was. I felt bad for him, but it was also entertaining to watch. Like, oh, mm-hmm. is that dude just gonna explode here any second from? He gave off a great intensity. So yes, the Baccarat bar was a hit. Again, another little hidden getaway, mm-hmm. a quiet hidden gem, a cool space. And if you're a whiskey drinker, especially, highly recommend. I will go back to Baccarat bar without question. I think that is all the bars. I think I've made it through my 18 bars and restaurants.
Yay.
Woo. All right. Okay, let me cover the pool real quick. When mm-hmm. I was up there to have breakfast at Agave, I did a pool walkthrough. I filmed a video, which I'll post on Patreon at some point, just to get a feel for mm-hmm. it. I know when the pool renderings first came out, some people I'd seen speculated that it wasn't a very large space, that the pools seem really small and stuff. There's a lot of space. The pools are good size. There are like, let's see, six different. Okay, so there's three main pools. It's like a long, there's like a curvy one and then two, it looks like a dick and balls kind of. There's like this round, the ball sack pool and two dick pools that come out from, I don't know. Anyway, there's three, that's the main pool. There's three of them. There's a cabana pool, which obviously a round pool with cabanas around it, thus the name. There are two VIP pools, and there's a gate to this, and there's somebody standing at the gate with a sign that says infinity pool, but there's actually two pools in there. So you walk in, and then you can go in, like I said, oh, is it okay if I just go in and look around, well, being that guy? And she's like, yeah, no problem at all. She said, if you want to use the pools, you have to buy something at the bar, the VIP bar in there, or have reservations. Like all the lounge chairs and cabanas and stuff are reserved. And I heard her on the way out, I heard her telling somebody that they started at for a lounge chair at $100. And that was on a Wednesday morning. So there's a small pool in there, and then there's the infinity pool beyond that. And from my room, I could see the pools. There were a lot of people using the infinity pool throughout the thing. So the view right now is shitty because it's construction. But once that's done, it'll be really nice. That'll be a very popular space. So you got the VIP pools, and then there's, I don't even think I looked at the Bimini pool. There's a casino or a pool bar called Bimini Bar. And yes, I do want to play. I don't have it fired up, but you're thinking he's going to play the David Lee Roth thing, isn't he?
No, I'm thinking of Bimini Bon Poulash.
What is that? Oh, some drag shit. Isn't it? Now I have to. This is what I think of. Yeah. So anyway, I think in my walk, I may have just glossed over the Bimini pool and Bimini bar. I didn't end up making it over there.
So we have different cultural references.
We sure do. If we should just stick to the 80s, we can get most of that stuff.
Oh, Bimini's fabulous.
I don't doubt it. I am also fabulous, by the way.
Yes, you are. I told you by text, remember?
Thanks to the, you said you already knew that because my gambling got me up to the fabulous level in their players club, which I think you get for hitting, I don't know how many points it was. 40,000 or something. It's meaning their levels, their tier, mile post levels or whatever they call them, their tier levels. The additional benefits are so minimal. It's like there's no reason to pursue any of this, but it was coincidental. So anyway, there was a lot of shade at the pool area, plenty of shade, lots of umbrellas, even though it was really warm. You know, you could still be somewhat comfortable if you weren't there in the hottest of moments, and you could find shade, and there were people using it. Oh, there's a family pool as well. I don't remember if I said that. They've got like some misters and shit. So anyway, there's a lot of pools. They're good, decent size. It's a nice space. I would hang out there. I would, especially if they're open later. I think now they're still only open until 6 or something, but I think they plan on being open later on in the night based on some of the things that have been said previously by the management. And that would be a good thing. Probably when it's not as, although it would be cooler in the evening. I don't know why they aren't doing that. I used their little concierge, digital concierge thing while I was there for my room.
And did it flirt with you like Rose?
No, it's still shitty. It still knows nothing. And I said, I'm like, I'm going to again try this using the most basic question. What are the pool hours? The pool hours are still under review, but once the property opens this summer.
The property is open.
I know. So they don't have any information. Wow. They don't have any.
Don't have it yet.
Don't promote it. Don't have it.
Yes.
Because it serves no purpose yet. And it's just annoying that you have it and it doesn't do anything.
Yep.
So yes, Red, as it's called, sucks. All right. Let me talk about the casino and gambling. Other than, you know, I alluded to a few things that I hit. But as far as the overall casino space, Resorts World touts their casino space as 117,000 square feet, which is a big casino space. I'm not sure what all is included in that, but I'm guessing it's every part that is zoned for gaming. So that would be, I'll get to that in a minute. See, I've got so much information in my head. So I think that probably includes the main casino floor, the high limit room, the baccarat room, possibly Starlight and 66, since there's a couple machines in there. Adjacent to that, there's additional gaming rooms. I'll get to that in a minute. So even though it's 117,000 square feet, which sounds like I was expecting it to be like MGM where you're walking forever, mm-hmm. MGM Grand. Not the case. The actual main casino does not feel that big to me.
Hmm.
It's long and narrow, and it feels a little bit about like cosmopolitan in size, which isn't a large casino.
Yeah. Huh.
It might be larger than that, but it's laid out, it doesn't feel that way. And because it is just one long, narrow space, it doesn't have like little corners and nooks and that sort of thing mm-hmm. in that main space. Like, you know, Cosmo itself is broken up. Like there are yeah. aisles that run through and you have kind of different sections. Mm-hmm. This is kind of just one big section
okay.
that runs through the whole middle. And you've got your other stuff on the sides. Your non-casino spaces on the sides. There are a few little pockets that are kind of themey. Like there's one little pocket of all video poker mm-hmm. near Famous Foods. So you can kind of find that together. And they have a lot of the multi-line quirky games mm-hmm. like Deep Stack. And I don't know, shit that I haven't even heard of. That's probably on videopoker.com. You can try. And then your Ultimate X and all that. They've mm-hmm. got a lot of those kind of things. One thing that's noticeable and novel is kind of near the center, they have a huge display of Buffalo machines. Obviously, those are very popular slot machines.
Oh, yeah.
They have their own... It's like a fucking structure.
Wow.
There's an outer ring mm-hmm. of maybe, I don't know, 15 to 20 machines. And then inside of... You can go inside of that, mm-hmm. and there's another probably 30 machines.
Oh, wow.
So there's like 30 that's or 40 Buffalo... And then on top of the center part, there mm-hmm. is a big Buffalo globe sign. Mm-hmm. So they're clearly very dedicated to keeping the Buffalo slot players at Resorts World. Throughout the casino in the main space, I wouldn't say the machine layout is like packed, but it is pretty tight. There's a lot of machines in the space. It's not that like looser layout feel
yeah.
That some casinos have. You'll find a lot of machines in that space. And a huge variety of the Chinese themed games. I'd say probably about half of the casino floor mm-hmm. is the Chinese game. And there's a wide variety of them. So it's not like you're seeing the same type of game over and over. A really good variety of other slots, but not so heavy on the themed slots. Hmm. I think I saw a couple like Little Shop of Horror machines, and there was some sort of Silent Hill, which I think is maybe some sort of a horror movie franchise or something, but a very small selection of movie and television themed, but they have all your like, I played some Skywheel. They had a couple different variations of Skywheel. Any of the familiar...
Did you spin the Skywheel?
Several times. My first play on the Skywheel went very well. And then I played a Skywheel variation called the Double Wheel. And that one just said spin the wheel. Hmm. That one wasn't... It was a bigger, more impressive machine, but it didn't go well. It wasn't as fun. But anyway, for slot players, pretty good variety. Most of the video poker is going to be at the bars, but they do have, like I said, some of those standalone machines mm-hmm. near the food court. One kind of cool thing that I like that they have that you don't see very often is in addition to the cocktail waitresses that take your order and bring you back your drinks, they have some roaming waitresses with big carts that have water and beer
ooh.
On ice. So you can get it immediately.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw that a few times and that's a nice feature. I like that. Let's see. So the high limit room, which I mentioned earlier, I spent a lot of time there. They have a quarter multi-line machine that has pretty decent pay tables for deuces wild. And mm-hmm. it's a 25 line machine, but you don't have to play 25 lines. My sweet spot became 7. Oh, and mm-hmm. it's super times pay, which is, I love those. Mm-hmm. It's only 1 credit more per line and you get the multiplier thing. So anyway, I put in a ton of time on that machine and had a good time. I hit a royal flush on it, which was awesome. The high limit room, there's a lot of table games. I don't know what the limits are. I didn't really even look at the table games. And I don't know. I know the regular casino, it's 6-5. It's shitty.
6-5, yeah.
I don't know if the high limit room is that way or not. But one of the noteworthy things that I haven't seen anywhere else that they had in this are these little single slot machine nooks.
Mm-hmm.
It was a slot machine. And then attached to it was like a wall with a shelf
mm-hmm.
and a television. And I'm not talking about like, I know in the past at like Red Rock and places mm-hmm. like that, I've seen a little television display on the actual slot machine.
Yeah.
This is like a, I don't know, 16, 18 inch
screen
television right next to the thing. And like mm-hmm. I said, there's an ashtray and a
was there shelf. A remote there? Could you choose the channel?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how, in the high limit room, you probably at the very least could ask somebody, but you know,
because there are certain things I do not want to hear when I'm gambling.
They were showing sports and stuff like that mostly, but kind of a novel thing. Or it could have been a touch screen where you can change the channels right on it. I'm not certain. I didn't just check out one, but there were a handful of those, and I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. If there was a video poker machine with that on it too, that would be. I'd love that. The video poker machines didn't have that, but some of the slots did.
And then you could watch baseball while you're playing video poker.
Exactly. So, okay, what else about the High Limit Room? The cocktail servers in the High Limit Room were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Super attentive. As soon as I was in a far corner, so sometimes it took a little while for them to find me, but once they knew I was there, they returned frequently. There was one that I finally had to tell her, I'm like, either you're getting faster or I'm getting slower. You need to, I said, you don't need to come back quite. I wasn't like mean about it or anything like that. I'm just like, we were joking about it.
I'm getting hammered way too fast.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, you are way too good at this. Her name was Tia. She was lovely. She was turning 30 the next day.
Oh.
And she's like, do you think I look 30? And I'm like, oh, I said, you can't ask me that. That's not I can't answer that question. I'm going to lose either way. But she was really fun. they all were. It was just really good service in there. Again, no snobbery. One downside to what was my favorite gambling spot in the casino, where I spent so much time during those days. So much time in the High Limit Room.
You might have texted me a few times about this.
Yeah. So the soundtrack in the High Limit Room was Yacht Rock from floor to ceiling and wall to wall. Yacht Rock. It was like, and as I said, things I said to you earlier is, if you were going to put together a playlist to drive me nuts, this would have been pretty close to what it was. The only good thing is I didn't hear a single Beach Boys song the whole trip. I didn't hear any Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, that's good.
Oh my God. I heard so much fucking Van Morrison, Michael McDonald, and Steely Dan.
And Baker Street.
Oh, luckily that one only came on once. And I knew it was coming, but I'm like, I think I texted you, Baker Street is on. I think I'm going to check out and come home early. I was not having it. Because as everyone who listens to this show has heard before.
Well, maybe it's because Steely Dan gargles my balls.
Yes. And that's how much of the soundtrack. I was like relieved
to hear Hall & Oates.
Oh, Hall & Oates was, I heard every Hall & Oates song ever, by the way. It was refreshing to hear Hall & Oates, because that's, you know, in the yacht rock genre, that's
the least objectionable.
It's the least objectionable. I don't mind Hall & Oates. Occasionally I'd hear something where I'm like, okay, I can tell. I was overjoyed. I hate Don Henley.
Uh-huh.
And I was to the, well.
Man, come on. I had a rough night and I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Big Lebowski. I love that clip. Anyway, I cannot stand Don Henley, but I was like, oh, Boys of Summer. This is a tolerable jam right now. I heard that one a couple times. I toughed it out though, because I was having such a good time in there. Mm-hmm. The drink service was good. The gambling was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I sucked it up and one more clip. I had to pull this one.
I would rather listen to Fran Drescher for 8 hours than have to listen to Michael McDonald. Nothing against him, but if I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
That's how I felt by the time I left. So anyway, as I mentioned then, there's the Baccarat. So one thing I mentioned earlier as far as the Crockford's Lobby Bar. To get to that, you go not only through the High Limit Room and through the Baccarat Room.
Mm-hmm.
There's a door at the end of the Baccarat Room, and that takes you to the Crockford's Casino or Crockford's Lobby.
Hmm.
So if you're looking for that lobby, that's one of the ways to get there. I think there's some hallways beyond that, but I think there's no security that's going to stop you from getting in that way. Whereas I think there might be security between Conrad and Crockford's.
Hmm.
Anyway, so that's why it's so hidden. You have to go through rooms that you might not otherwise want to go through. Adjacent to the Starlight on 66, so many venue names. Mm-hmm. Adjacent to Starlight on 66, there's a Sky Casino.
Mm-hmm.
Spin the Sky Casino.
was there a Sky Wheel in the Sky Casino?
No, they didn't have any machines in there. It was just table just games. Tables, and I'm sure they were. And they had a couple of private rooms as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody gambling in there when I walked in. In fact, I walked through there and took video, and like the people who were working in there.
Yeah.
They didn't. I said, "Yep, I'm that guy with the phone camera, mm-hmm. with the, you know, the videotaping." And yeah. They're like, "Have fun." They did not care. So
it probably helped that there was nobody in there, because table games can be kind of.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that's the casino. I guess my overall impression of Resorts World. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about tech in a minute too here, but I'd seen a few comments, so this certainly isn't an original thought, but I will agree with it. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple comments where people said it feels like they built a really nice shopping mall that happens to have a casino in the middle.
Mm.
And it does feel that way as the more you walk around and you go
through. And I know how you love malls.
But it doesn't... It feels like the casino is secondary to the other stuff. That's why.
Okay.
Having the casino be in the center like that... It,
mm-hmm.
And have everything surrounded. It's almost a little bit like Mall of America having the amusement park in the center and all the restaurants and bars and shops around it. Kind of that where the amusement park is a little part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's intentional because they want this to be considered much more of a resort than just a casino that has other stuff. And it has its little spaces. You know, there's one space that's distinctly retail
mm-hmm.
where most of the shops are located and a few of the nicer restaurants are located. And then they've got the section that's the food hall, and then so it's kind of sectioned off a little bit, but again the casino kind of feels like it's a part of this but really not the focus of it.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of an interesting thing. It does have a mall like feel, especially when you're in that retail area. Mm-hmm. The art throughout the property is really nice. They have that giant globe that we discussed before. It's cool. It's a cool focal point. It's not something that you're going to stand by and stare mm-hmm. at and watch change a bunch. But as you're walking through, you kind of keep an eye on it. See, I think they could do some splashier stuff with it. Mm-hmm. Right now, it'll just kind of change colors and patterns and stuff. But they're very car centric with their art displays. They have a Rolls Royce collection on display, different color Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. I believe the sign said it's the Michael Fox collection. I'm sure he enjoyed having that nickname when he was a younger child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Michael Fox is, but I appreciate that his name is Michael Fox. Yeah, he does. If I had a Rolls Royce collection, I would too. they have the old-timey player piano car that mm-hmm. I mentioned. That's kind of cool. They also have this Volkswagen Bug round globey thing, like mm-hmm. a compressed Volkswagen Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that used to be, and either there's multiple of that, or it used to be in Europe somewhere, because my brother has a picture of himself by that in another country. When I believe this went in while I was there, there is a Stardust sign model right by the entrance near Tacos El Gordo
mm-hmm.
that it's like a flashing, it's not neon, but it's like a flashing, it's like the old Stardust mm-hmm. sign. It's very cool.
Mm.
So a couple tributes. There's also some Stardust artwork near the Rolls Royce collection. There's a Stardust sign next to the Starbucks.
Okay.
Probably not intentional, but there is. There's an Elvis Live at Las Vegas Hilton mm-hmm. kind of thing by one of the entrances. In the Baccarat rooms, there's some, I don't know if it is legit Warhol, but Warhol type pop art.
Mm.
Like there's some soup can stuff and some mm-hmm. Marilyn Monroe stuff. They very well may be.
Yeah.
But anyway, so cool different art displays. Worth wandering around. In the retail mall, there's some kind of a dragon sculpture, and there's some birds hanging from the ceiling and mm-hmm. shit. And it's a nice space. Throughout the property, it was friendly. I think a lot of the problems they're having as far as the supply issues and the tech issues, mm-hmm. That's stuff that you can work through. I think the structure is there. The resort itself is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot. The construction outside is also annoying. So it's like that stuff that it just doesn't feel complete.
Yeah.
But when it's finished, it seems like it'll be mm-hmm. really nice. And most of the stuff even now is, as I said, serviceable. That mm-hmm. was the keyword that kept coming up. Nice, not awesome, not horrible. I liked it. Hunter posed a question to me that I thought was very insightful, which isn't a surprise because he just comes up with good questions
does.
That made me think for a second. And this was on the first night, so I hadn't had a real good chance to absorb everything. Mm-hmm. But he said... he asked if I saw Resorts World becoming part of the regular Vegas hotel rotation.
I was going to ask you, is this a place where you would stay again?
So, great question. And when he first asked it, I had to think a little bit. And And I think I would, even though that was the first night, the first experience I had had, I think I would stick to this answer after spending another couple days there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to replace Cosmopolitan as my go-to on the Strip by any means, partly because of location, mainly because of location.
Yeah.
This is another instance of if this property were located Center Strip,
mm-hmm.
I'd spend a lot of time there
mm-hmm.
because it's located on one end of the Strip where I don't really like spending as much time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just more comfortable Center Strip. I'll go there once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to get a really good room offer, you know, free room and some comp, some free mm-hmm. play and stuff, I would absolutely stay there again. There's nothing wrong with it. And I liked it enough.
Yeah.
And as it gets more built up around there, hopefully at some point,
mm-hmm.
It'll be even better. If I had a convention at the convention center, I would absolutely stay there and take the Tesla over.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend it. I like it, but it's not going to replace, it's not going to become a standard place.
Mm-hmm.
Almost comparable to a Mandalay Bay. Like I always have a good time there.
Yeah.
But again, because it's on one end, I'm not mm-hmm. going to, I'm not, I just don't stay there. So.
What about, as far as in the rotation, bars and restaurants, is there anything that you absolutely have to do?
If I was going there with, if I was going to Las Vegas with someone who hasn't been there in a while or hasn't been to Resorts World,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, let me show you the rooftop bar and possibly depending on who it was, let me show you the Baccarat bar.
Okay.
So there are those things. As far as the restaurants that I experienced, again, good, but not like, holy shit, I have to get back here.
Mm-hmm.
If I was there, I wouldn't have some good choices.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certainly several that aren't open yet or that I haven't explored. Carver Steak might be a great steakhouse. I'm sure it probably will when that mm-hmm. opens. And you know, the Tapas place isn't open yet. There's still a pizza place and a taco place that haven't opened. So there'll be more coming, but no, there's not a like, oh, we've got to go to this next time we're in town.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Does that kind of give you a sense of the place?
Yeah.
Again, Mandalay is kind of a good, like if we're at Mandalay Bay, we know we're going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. There's some decent restaurant options.
Yep.
I'd go to, you know, any number of places we've been before. There's places that we haven't been that I would try.
But it's not this, oh, I need to make a special trip over there every time to go to this.
No. But if somebody, if we were to, if I like, for sure, I know that you and I, when we go back, we'll go check out the rooftop bar and we'll see some of this stuff.
Yeah. I'd like to see it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and it's fun. It was a good place to spend a couple of days. I really enjoyed it. If we were in town and happened to be in town with friends and somebody were to suggest, hey, we should go to Resorts World and do a bar crawl or go up to the rooftop mm-hmm. bar. Absolutely. I know it's going to be fun. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So overall, I had a very positive time, and the things that weren't quite right
mm-hmm.
were, they'll be worked out.
Yeah.
It might take a little while and they probably should have been worked out before mm-hmm. it opened, but they'll be worked out. So I don't have a lot of bad things to say. I'm trying to think, let's see, I touched on some of the tech stuff. One thing that has great potential tech wise that, some of the cocktail waitresses were using, not all of them,
mm-hmm.
but I know like, a couple of them in the high limit room were using, they have a little tablet computer. And when I would at the machine say, I'll have a rum and coke, and she would enter it in
mm-hmm.
and instead of doing the thing where they take a whole list of people's orders on a tab, mm-hmm. on a paper tab and go back to the bar and have the bar and give the bartender their order and have the bartender make the drink and then go deliver them.
Mm-hmm.
They take the order that goes to the bartender immediately. By the time they get back to the bar,
it's made.
The drinks are already made and they're immediately bringing them back. So
that's efficient.
Super efficient. And some of them were using it and some of them weren't. I don't know if they were using it in the main casino. I don't think I had a single cocktail the times I was playing machines in the main casino. It was either at a bar or in the high limit room. But there were times where she would take that order and it wasn't real busy. So I might've mm-hmm. been the only one, or there's one other person in my area mm-hmm. that was playing. And by the time she walked to the bar, the drinks were ready and she'd bring them back minutes later. Super efficient.
It was like La Bayou levels of intoxication to better quality drinks.
Yeah, there were a couple of times where I was feeling pretty good. I didn't try the cashless gambling app that they've been pushing, partly because I'm not against it, but I'm like, well, this seems like I'm going through more effort and there might be some fees involved. I'm just like, this isn't making it more convenient for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point of tech. Like, if and unless it's going to do something that's going to make things more efficient or convenient for me, why would I use it? So until I have a reason
mm-hmm.
not to, I'll probably just continue using cash. There's certain comfort and familiarity, of course, too. But I'm trying to think. What else? That's kind of my feeling about the whole thing. You know, mm-hmm. I when it's better weather, it'll be nice to be within walking distance of Peppermill and
yeah.
taco places across the street and stuff. But like I said, if I were to get a good free room offer, and I'm curious what I'll end up getting. I did end up asking to talk to a host because I was playing so heavily mm-hmm. this trip. Because I was winning, I was able to continue playing a lot, mm-hmm. and I was playing. And because it was a short trip, I was playing yeah. more than usual. I certainly didn't bring my normal full trip budget, but I was hitting stuff and I kept playing, and I was playing multi-line and higher, you know, like $1 and $2 on occasion, single line. So I was putting a lot of points in the card, and I thought, oh, I'm going to see, even though mm-hmm. I prepaid for the room, I was charging all the restaurant and bar stuff mm-hmm. to the room. So I did ask to speak with a host, and she knocked a couple $100 off, and she was very friendly. And
nice.
I would imagine that I'll be getting some decent offers from them based on my play. So yeah, we might end up staying there.
All right.
If you're up for it.
Yeah, I haven't stayed at that end of the strip in a long time. So.
That's the other thing. We've been talking about that for a long time. We stayed at Wynn,
mm-hmm.
you know, a couple years ago when yeah. we had a free room for a couple nights. But we always talk about hitting some of those places around there that we haven't gone to in a long time, even like Strip Burger. And
mm-hmm.
We want to go to Delilah, I think, at some point yeah. at Wynn now that that's open. And so there's plenty of stuff I want to try out, and that would be a good
mm-hmm.
place to stay when doing it.
Yeah,
I would definitely see that as an option. So yeah, so I think that's it, unless I think of something else in the next couple of days, which we'll talk about later on. But I think that is my complete
and whirlwind thorough
and hopefully thorough. I hope I answered questions for people. Maybe sometime in the next couple of weeks we'll do a Patreon chat, and if those folks have additional questions about the Resorts World experience,
mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to answer them as well. But yeah, so that wraps it up, unless you have any other
I do not
thoughts. How so, having not gone, do you feel like you missed out on anything, or are you like, no, this is fine?
This is fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'll see it eventually.
Yeah.
There are things that I'm more interested in seeing than others.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad that it worked out then for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You still like me?
I do.
Awesome. Good. We're going to continue doing the podcast, guys. Our marriage survives a solo trip. People were worried. All right. Here we go. All right. So we've got one other thing that I forgot to mention when we were talking last week regarding Resorts World. Another tech thing that I tried out.
Mm-hmm.
They have a feature that they've been promoting for the rooms, allowing you to stream your own content to the television. And I think I mentioned that it's a very large TV. I don't know how many, what the size is, but I was like, oh, this is big for a hotel room TV. It's like, I don't know, 1,000 inches. I have no fucking idea. But anyway, I wanted to try the streaming thing, and I had some stuff that I had downloaded to my iPad and wanted to see how it worked. And it is using Google Chromecast technology, which I hadn't used before. But it's pretty simple. There's a menu item, and it gives you a code, and or it tells you to, it gives you a Wi-Fi. It tells you what Wi-Fi thing to connect to.
Okay.
And it's specific to your room, I guess, or specific to their system, and then it gives you a code. So I connected to that. I had a prompt on my iPad to put the code in, put that in. I think maybe it gives you a web address to put the code in. I don't remember the exact process, but it was very simple, just a couple steps. And then from that, you should be able to stream from any app that is compatible with Google Chromecast. So Netflix or HBO Max or whatever. Mine happened to be HBO Max, and I had downloaded the content. I wasn't streaming it to my iPad and then streaming it back. So I chose something that I downloaded and proceeded to stream it. And it worked pretty well. There was a few...
Arliss?
Yes, I'm getting all caught up on Arliss. Oh, that Bob Wohl. What a comedy legend. It would buffer on occasion just for a few seconds. So it wasn't seamless. And I'm not sure if that's the technology or my iPad, because I do have an older iPad. And sometimes, even when I stream here, usually it works pretty well, but occasionally...
usually have a strong stream.
So there's... Thank you. So my urologist thinks so, too. So I don't know if that... And it wasn't that big of a deal. It just happened a couple times, and it was just for a few seconds. It wasn't like it hung up for minutes at a time or anything like that. I proceeded to fall asleep during that episode of Arliss. So it did its job. So anyway, it's nice technology to have if you are planning on spending any time in your room and want to watch whatever you want to watch and not necessarily what's on TV. So just thought I'd mention that. I tried that out. Yeah, so there you go. That's the Resorts World stuff. Covered a lot of ground. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I appreciate all the kind words from last week's show. Seems like a lot of people got a lot out of it. Next week, we are going to have to do a major catch-up. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. There's been a bunch of news in the last couple weeks, and I'm sure there'll be more this week. So we will get all caught up on that with a lot of entertainment news especially. So come back for that if you will. We've got a few Karma donations to thank folks for. Actually, quite a handful of Karma donations before we wrap things up here. Dave and Paul, looking forward to their first trip since February 2020. So glad that people are continuing to be able to get back to Las Vegas. And they said, thanks for helping us get through the pandemic.
Aww,
well, thank you for listening. Appreciate it. John in Pennsylvania, both for a fun Las Vegas trip at the end of June and for the review of Resorts World. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Inga, she said that I'm not going to play it again. I just saw your face drop. I'm not going to do that to you today because you're already beaten down. The Siegfried and Roy drop was all she needed to donate again after a good outing at Harrah's Joliet yesterday.
Oh, that's good.
And she said she can always use more karma. Well, good luck during your next trip as well.
The reason I'm exhausted is the dog, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't want to pile on. I know that feeling. I know when to like let it lie.
Thank you.
Max
I appreciate related that.
Trauma. JB from MKE. Is that Milwaukee?
I think so.
Karma and appreciation donation for a trip on July 30th. First time in a wraparound suite at Cosmo. Oh, I hope you enjoy it. 5-year wedding anniversary in the city they love. And a hashtag for dyslexic heart number 42. It's been like a year plus since we've done anything. One of these days we'll get the urge. We just haven't. For whatever reason, I haven't been feeling it.
And I haven't either, and it just hasn't happened.
No, we'll get to it one of these days. It's not dead necessarily. Jackie with a karma donation for a trip happening tomorrow, staying at the Cromwell Daybed at Moria Day Club. What is that thing called? Anyway, lots of birthday drinks and shenanigans. Well, happy birthday.
Yes.
And we appreciate your support. All right, Andrew, road tripping from Minnesota with his crotch droppings. That is, he's on that trip right now.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah. And, you know, normally I'd shame him for this, but he bought us out. He, karma donation, so we'll overlook it. He said, if you see him pushing a stroller down the middle of the walkway with a twins hat on, give him the wave.
Give him some sympathy, because the Twins have been not kind to Twins fans this season.
Yeah. All right, we'll cut you some slack on that one, because you've endured the Twins season. Finally, Mark and Cheryl... After winning $127,000 on a slot machine bonus last week,
dang,
our luck has gone to shit. I hope you didn't lose it all back. That would be unfortunate. Hopefully this gets us back on track as we head to Vegas today. Love the show. Thank you, guys. Thank you, and congratulations
on
that hit. I hope that funded your trip at the very least. Hope that everybody is getting their trip scheduled and getting back and having a good time, and we appreciate all your support. You are all awesome. All right, next week we'll get back to a normal show. As always, 500bymidnight.com is the website. If you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, we'll get to those one of these days, 500@gmail.com. And of course, the voicemail line, always available. We love to hear from you, 702-866-9494. All right, for our Patreon folks, we'll see you in the chat next weekend. For everybody else, you'll hear us doing a show next weekend. And until then, we hope you all have a great week.
Bye-bye.